Hey everybody, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
I'm Jimmy.
So we took a break last week because both of us were traveling. Now we're all back. How were your past 2 weeks, I guess?
Traveling was great. I was in Indiana visiting some friends. Traveling back was horrible. I missed my connecting flight because my first flight got delayed so much that I had to spend the night in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then coming back to Austin, a guy passed out on the airplane, and we had an emergency land. So coming home was cursed. I wasn't meant to come home.
Was dude at least all right?
I hope so. I've only seen it in movies, but you know when you hear like they're like, is there a nurse or a doctor on board? They said that on the airplane.
Wow.
It was strange.
I have never actually heard that before. Like, I know you see it in movies and stuff, but in real life, I've never actually heard that. That would actually make me a little not uneasy, but it'd be weird if that ever actually happened to me.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if this is a weird thing, but like they said it. One person came up to the front. Like a couple minutes later, another person gets up and goes up to the front. And then a few minutes later from that, a third person gets up and goes to the front. I feel like when you say it, if you're a nurse or doctor, maybe you all stand at one time. Not to see like how things are going and then maybe. Like I wonder if they had looked at each other and was like, we'll start from the bottom. And then like maybe a nurse mm-hmm. all the way up to a surgeon. They're like, give me the sign if I need to come up. But they grabbed the oxygen tank. I saw them carry an oxygen tank from the back of the airplane to the front. I've never seen paramedics come on an airplane either, and that was a first.
Well, hey, at least, I mean, it was at somebody else's expense, but at least you got a little bit of adventure in there.
True. Now I know that that is an actual thing, and they do that, and we got diverted. If your plane ever has to make an emergency landing, it does a lot of paperwork, I assume, because the captain kept saying, like, I'm just finishing up the paperwork. We'll be up in the air in a little bit. And like 3 hours later, we were back up in the air. So just FYI, if you had emergency land, you're going to be on the airplane for a little bit.
Yeah, that's, I guess it makes sense. A lot of paperwork and need to make sure everybody did everything right and all that jazz. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess like everything, I've always heard that, like, not just pilots, but a lot of things, the paperwork can just be a killer. Just to, like, process a criminal that you've arrested or whatnot, it's a ton of paperwork and just minor things. Like, not minor, but things you should think wouldn't take that long, take a long time.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't do the paperwork that minute. But
that's, I got stuff to do.
Yeah, so that was kind of my adventure this past week. How about you? What have you been up to?
So I was in Wisconsin. Not much to talk about there, largely because my family lives on like a farm in the middle of nowhere. I had a car, but it's not like, you know, I'm coming from San Francisco. It's not like I'm going to see anything there or there's a lot of must-sees there or whatever. So just kind of hanging out, connecting with my grandparents and stuff. You know, they're older, so wanting to get to know them better and all that stuff, especially, you know, just the reality of everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we reality of people getting older, that is. But overall, it was pretty fun. I enjoyed it. Then I came back and then it wound up being, you know, a pretty run-of-the-mill work week. It was a little busy the first few days because, you know, you take time off, things pile up, so you have to play catch-up for the first day or two before you're back to normal. Weekend was fun. Went around, hang out with some people, which was really fun to do. Went to San Mateo. Overall, I really enjoyed my week, and looking forward to, you know, we're getting summer months here, so all the summer blockbusters coming out. So looking forward to seeing a bunch of those when they pop off.
Yeah, I'm excited for all the new movies coming out. There's a new Brad Pitt movie coming out. I think, is it called Bullet Train? I'm kind of excited to see that.
Yes, that kind of, I did see that trailer recently. It does look like it will be really good. I do want to catch that.
That, and there's actually, I don't know how big of a horror movie fan you are. I love a horror movie. There's a movie called Black Phone coming out that was got pushed back, and it looks really creepy. So I'm actually really excited to see that. I think that's in June.
I'll have to look into it. I've never heard of that one, but I'll definitely like try to catch a trailer or read a synopsis or something. Only horror movie I know coming up that I want to see and is Nope, which is the new man, I just drew a blank on his name. Jordan Peele film, yeah. And for the most part, all of his films have been pretty good. I didn't care that much for the Candyman reboot, or I guess technically a requel, but other than that, I've always enjoyed his films.
But he didn't direct that one. He's just a producer.
Oh, for some reason I thought he was the director. Okay.
No, he didn't direct that one, I believe. Now I can't remember who directed it. I know he's a producer.
You're right. He was the writer and the producer, but he did not direct it.
Oh, Nia DaCosta directed
it. Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Nope. I mean, I have my guesses. I don't want to say my guesses because what if they're true and they're spoilery? So I'm just going to keep it to myself. But the cast looks good. I like Kiki Palmer a lot, so I'm definitely in.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I have theory. Like the trailer is good enough to where it kind of gets you intrigued without giving away any kind of plot points. So you're like, okay, this might be a good film. But then at the same time, you're like, you can still feel like you're going into it blind a little bit. Like you have a rough idea on what it's about, but not enough to be, I guess, to spoil it, if you will. But yeah, I've liked all of his films. I still think Get Out is his best one. Us was all right. I just didn't like it as much. But we'll see what I think about Nope. There's a new Jurassic Park film coming out, which honestly, I'm not excited to see. I saw Jurassic World in theaters. Then the sequel that came out, was it called Lost Kingdom or something? I skipped that one. I caught it on streaming. I don't know about this one if I want to see it in person or in theaters, or if I want to just like wait until it's on streaming.
I'm curious about this one. I'm a little nervous about it because it feels like, because they're bringing the old cast back, and it's almost like, oh, look over here. Here's like nostalgic stuff to distract you from bad storytelling.
Pretty much like, hey, look, you remember Dr. Grant and you remember Jeff Goldblum and stuff. Yeah, you're going to love watching this film.
Yeah, I didn't like the second one either in this new trilogy. So, but I mean, I feel like none of the Jurassic Park movies have lived up to the first Jurassic Park.
I guess the first one was good. I think the second one was good too, even though Michael Crichton hated it, because like originally he only wanted to wrote the one book, and he was upset that they had changed it like for the film. Like the owner of the park in the book was way more evil than he was in the film and stuff. But the film was such a success that the studio kind of forced his hand to write a book, and so he wrote a sequel, and they didn't like the book, so they're just like, okay, we're gonna follow our own story in the sequel. And so he really hated Lost World, but I thought Lost World was good. The third one was terrible. Jurassic World, I thought it was all right. It wasn't great, but it was all right. There were so many plot holes in it, like I guess you could say that's just Jurassic Park in general. Like, if the employees just had a monochrome of competence, the film would have never happened. But still.
In Lost World, Jeff Goldblum's character has a kid, right? What happened to that kid?
They never say. Like, we never see her again.
Like, that would be a cool throwback. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to erase those. Lost World is good up until it becomes King Kong. Like, when they bring it back to New York?
Yes, I'll agree with you. That's where it got bad, was when, like, the Well, the end where the T-Rex goats loose and was it San Diego or whatever? Like,
yeah,
yes, that's like when that. That's when it got bad. Like up to that point, it was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, because the idea was good, and I remember. I don't remember how old I was, but I remember those scenes scared me. Like the suspense in that movie had me going as a kid or teenager. I definitely wasn't an adult, but however old I was when that came out, the suspense was good.
Well, enough talking about dinosaurs. Let's talk about an old show that's always good. Let's talk about King of the Hill. Let's see. So this week we are going to be doing episode 10. Well, episode 10 of our podcast, we'll be doing season 7, episode 4, which a fun little fact, this episode is like literally smack dab in the middle of the King of the Hill run. So there's 129 episodes before it and 129 episodes after it. So it's like smack dab in the middle. Goodbye, Normal Jeans, which I guess is a play on Goodbye, Norma Jean by Elton John. But, you know, it's a pretty fun episode because I think it's one of the few times we see Peggy being really vulnerable in a way. Because she's usually like overconfident, but here we see a different side of her. But let's just jump right into it. So Bobby has taken home ec. They never really say why, if he thought it would be an easy A or to meet girls. If I were to guess, I'd say it's the latter. But, you know, he's being Bobby. He's goofing off in class. You know, they're ironing clothes and he puts dish soap into the iron and makes it bubble. It pretends that he's ironing underwater and stuff. And teacher is not amused by anything he's doing. They have homework that night. The teacher brings in a bunch of cheerleader outfits that have been soiled, and they're supposed to identify and remove the mystery stain. But for the class clown, they gave him extra credit, and they went ahead and stained the dress with the chocolate cake, which to me didn't make sense because unless Bobby's just not paying attention, he saw her put her finger in the chocolate cake icing, so she can... He could pretty much already identify what it is unless it's like, oh, you have to be able to remove it too.
Is that your takeaway from that? Because my takeaway from that is the janitor licks the icing off her finger.
Oh, yeah. And she's not even mad. The janitor does, like, after she puts her finger on the dress to stain it, she has her pinky up in the air. And, like, yeah, the janitor just, like, licks the icing off of her finger. And she doesn't even, like, she gives him a dirty look, but she doesn't, like, scream or slap him or anything that I think a normal person would do.
Yeah, it was a different time back then, I guess.
Yeah. We get back home, and it's Monday night, which I guess is Frito Pie night. I don't know about you. Growing up, we never really had nights. But, like, when I was living in Austin, I definitely had nights. Like, Monday night would be Kirby Lane night. And then, like, Tuesday night, I would eat, you know, a burger or something. And Wednesday night would be, like, Chinese. Like, I had my routine when I was living in Austin. I don't know if you've ever done that before.
I definitely, like, some days, like, the weekends... I mean, it would be either like Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, but one of those days would be like Pluckers night. We would go to Pluckers and eat chicken wings. It's a chicken wing place. But I never really had, I guess growing up, there was never like, you know, Monday we eat Frito pies, but I would have loved that. I love a Frito pie, but my family never had that in our rotation of food. It was kind of just like whatever was being felt to be made that day was made.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's weird when you think about it. Like, it would be nice because then you kind of know ahead of time what, and you can get excited, like, oh, it's going to be spaghetti. But we never really did that growing up. But yeah, it's apparently Frito pie with Wolf Brand chili, which I'm wondering the joke there, like if it's just a joke that, or if like they got money, like, you know, the Fox and Mike Judge got money from Wolf Brand chili to just drop the brand in the episode.
Is Wolf Brand chili like a nationwide thing? Because I love Wolf Brand chili. Like Wolf Brand no bean chili is my jam. And I was like, is that just a Texan thing?
No, I think you could buy it anywhere. Granted, I don't have a lot of point of context, but I think it is like something you could buy anywhere.
Okay, because I felt like when she said that, or I think either no, Peggy says it with Wolf Brand chili. And I was like, oh wow, I love Wolf Brand chili. And I'm pretty Texas, so.
Yeah, they say it like four times. Like even Hank goes up to Bobby's room and is like, Bobby, it's Frito pie with Wolf Brand chili tonight. So I'm like, yeah, that must be like a not so subtle commercial that they're doing.
And I appreciate that. That's pretty name brand. Like sometimes you got to go generic, but like they must really just be like Wolf Brand is the only thing we eat in this household.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, that's like the only that's one of the few real food brands you see in the series. Like usually they do the fake, like, you know, Honey O's, Cheerios or whatever and stuff. They don't use the actual names, but yeah. Hank goes to Bobby's room, sees Bobby has a cheerleader uniform in his hands, and naturally he's upset. And Hank's like, there better be a naked cheerleader under the bed. And Bobby was like, Dad, I might fail home ec. And Hank's like, well, yeah, of course you're going to fail. You're a guy. Hank grabs the uniform. He walks out to the kitchen where Peggy is and is like, did you know your son is taking home ec? If he learns how to cook and clean, what's the motivation of him ever getting married? Which is a very sexist statement, obviously, but it's also, I don't know, just how Hank thinks is sometimes weird and funny to me. But then, of course, Peggy kind of fires back and says, oh, just because he learns how to cook doesn't mean he's going to be a sissy. In prison movies, the toughest guys are always the one who work in the kitchen.
I mean, I guess true. I guess I don't watch too many prison movies now that I'm thinking about it. So I don't know. I don't have any point of reference for that.
Same here. I don't think I've seen too many.
I do think it's misleading how Bobby is holding the cheerleading outfit. He's holding it like against his body.
Yeah.
Trying to look at the stains like he's like trying it on. When I feel like if I was looking at stains, I would just have it laid on my bed.
True.
Looking at the stains. So I don't know. Maybe Bobby was trying to set up the plot line in this episode.
Yeah, it's one of those things you just kind of have to let go. Otherwise, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Hank decides to tell the guys about everything because we go outside and, you know, he's already told the guys, but we're picking up and Dale's like, oh, you know, when I was the towel manager, I cleaned 50 jock straps a week and I turned out okay. And of course, Hank's a little not happy to hear that because he's like, okay. Bill is tossing his beer can like over his shoulder or whatever, or overhand, and it hits the cooler. And everybody thinks that's really cool. And hey, good job, Bill, and stuff. And then Dale's like, ha, I bet you $1 million you can't do it again. And so Bill's like, you're on. And Bill throws it in and fails to do so. And then Dale makes fun of him and is like, oh, you choker, choker, choker. And then he winds up choking on his cigarette and gagging and coughing it up. And then once he coughs it up, he's like, oh, you choked.
I don't think we're doing this episode, but this reminded me of the, I think it's King of the Hill. There's an episode where like a hat lands on someone's head. Is that King of the Hill? And they try to recreate it. Peggy does that.
Yes, it's like a way later episode. Like I think it's in the last season or two. But yes, it is the episode.
Yeah, this kind of reminded me of that, and I love that Dale. Dale's a great character because he does not care what's going on. He doesn't care that he just choked on a cigarette. He's still like, I have to make fun of Bill.
Yeah, that's kind of like, they have an interesting, I don't want to necessarily call it love-hate relationship. Like, they're always paired off. It's like all the shenanigans that happen in the show are usually Dale and Bill, like, teamed up together. But at the same time, it's like Bill seems like he gets a lot of abuse from Dale. So, I don't know. It's a weird relationship. So Bobby is inside the garage with Peggy where they keep their washer and dryer. And Peggy is removing a load from the washer. And Bobby's like, Dad says that men install washing machines. They service washing machines, but they don't use the washing machine. Peggy's like, oh, there's no rule that says only women can do housework and only men can have careers. And, you know, Peggy's a superwoman. So she gives she tries to tell Bobby what to do in order to do it, like, you know, pre-soap, put in hot water, put in bleach, which there's like blue on the actual cheerleader outfit. So I don't know that bleach is the way you want to go, but all right. And then, yeah, they start it, and then, you know, they come out the next day, which is also kind of weird to me because I've never washed my clothes and then took them out of the washing machine the next day. I've taken stuff out of the dryer the next day, like throw something into the dryer and before you go to bed or whatnot, but I've never left my wash overnight, but okay, never mind, whatever. And yeah, they see the uniform and it's all kind of tattered, and Bobby's like, well, at least you got most of the stains out. But then they pull out Hank's jeans, which it's kind of a blink and you miss it moment, but you can actually see in one of the scenes in the background when Peggy's unloading the washer that she accidentally drops the jeans back into the washing machine.
Oh, wow. Now I have to go back, because that's an interesting one. I got to mark that.
Yeah. But like now she's mad. Now she's upset, like, oh, no, your father's jeans. And it's kind of implying that he only has one pair of jeans, which is okay. That does seem like a Hank Hill thing, though. Like, have one pair and then just take very good care of it. But then you go and show Hank, and Hank's like, oh, he's so upset. He's like, oh, now what am I going to wear when I carve the turkey? I'm not going to do it in my shorts, not with an electric knife. And, you know, Peggy's like, hey, even world-famous surgeons fail every now and again. Hank is naturally very upset, and Bobby wants to, like, you know, set things right. So he takes the jeans to his home ec class and asks the teacher to help. At first, the teacher is, like, reluctant because Bobby's been kind of a, you know, a joker, a class clown up to this point. Didn't seem to be taking the course seriously. But then Bobby, like, really pleads, like, please, I really need help. So she agrees, and we see the guys outside. Hank is wearing khakis, which he apparently looks very uncomfortable in. And then Dale's making the joke like, ha, how's it going at the bank? And then Hank, I guess, doesn't get the joke because he's like, how would I know? But then Dale's like, Bill, speaking about financial stuff, where's that $1 million check? So Bill writes him a $1 million check and, you know, kind of wink, wink. I guess I have to sell my private island now. And Dale's like, you never go anyway.
Oh, no, that's a great part, because the way Dale says it, it's like he believes it. Like, you never go to your private island. I've never seen you leave here, Bill, and go to your private island, so you don't really need it. So I love the sincerity in Dale's voice at that moment.
Absolutely. That was like Dale was taking everything seriously there, and he doesn't even get the joke that it's not a real check or whatever, but that's besides the point. They'll come into play later, as this is going to be the subplot. Bobby surprises Hank with the fixed jeans, and Hank tries them on and he loves them, and, you know, he's like, you know, they're a little stiff, but, you know, give them 20 years or whatever and they'll break in. And then Bobby takes the power sander and uses it to loosen up the denim, and man, Hank's just, oh, you know, elated about the fact that he made these jeans that are better than the old ones. Hank even says, I'm glad you ruined my own old jeans because Bobby made them better. And Peggy's getting upset because Bobby's getting all this praise and he was able to make this with her sewing machine. And she even says, like, she can't make seams that straight with her own sewing machine.
So that line is hilarious. Like, the way that Peggy's like, no, that, because she was like, that can't be my sewing machine because it doesn't make stitches that straight. Is a perfect Peggy line. Like, it's not me, it's the sewing machine.
So then we jump forward a little bit, and Bobby, I guess, is cooking for his homework. And Hank's like, you know, at first Hank's happy because he's like, hey, Bobby, all day and I had no chafing. These are the best jeans ever. And then he sees that Bobby's cooking. He's like, oh, so they don't just have you sewing in home ec, they have you cooking. And, you know, Bobby's like, well, yeah, and I use some of your wedding wine to baste the pot roast and everything. And Hank's like, okay, well, when you're done, you know, playing kitchen, please let your mom have the kitchen because she's got to make pork chops for dinner. And Peggy's like, that's right. It was Pork. One tiny mistake will kill you. Then we jump really quick to the bank. Dale tries to cash the check. And he's like, I want to cash this $1 million check. And the teller's like, most $1 million checks we get are jokes. And he doesn't seem to get it. He's like, oh, your job sounds fun. And so then she continues to look like, oh, Mr. Dottereve instead of Dottereve. Mr. Dottereve only has $418.75 in his bank account. And so Dale still doesn't take the hint and just empties the entire bank account. It's like, okay, I'll just take all that money in coins too. He's like, wants 400 Sacagawea coins and whatnot. And what's even worse is the teller like goes along with it. Like you'd think, like, what's going on in this bank where they don't seem to get that this is a joke and this guy is like oblivious, not understanding it.
Can you ask for Sacagawea coins? Or is that a King of the Hill thing? Or, I mean, can you ask for dollar coins just in general at a bank?
You can, but I'm guessing that there's like an upper limit.
Huh. I don't know. That would be cool. I haven't seen a dollar coin in forever.
Neither have I. Like, I don't know that you can ask for 400 of them, but maybe. I don't know. Also, the fact that she there's a lot of protocol being broken there. The fact that she tells somebody else what somebody has in their bank account. Like, this girl must have been new or something. But then she says most of the checks they see are jokes, which insinuates that she's been working there for a while, so I don't know. We go back to the Hill residence, and Hank is, you know, cutting through the pork chops, and he eats it, but he doesn't really grimace, but he's like, oh, it's not one of those, like, this is the best food I've ever eaten. He even says, like, yep, tastes like Tuesday. So I guess he's just like, yeah, this is normal, whatever. This is par for the course. Then Bobby brings out his pot roast and is like, hey, can you try it and sign this paper saying that I made it myself? And Hank is like, sure, I'll help you with this homework. And he starts eating the pot roast. And Peggy gets upset because she's like, but Hank, you can't fill up on that. It's pork chop night. And Hank's like, oh, no, let's just eat the pot roast while it's still fresh. Your pork chops will still be good tomorrow. And Peggy's upset. It's like, oh, but that's Wednesday is Peggy and meatball day. We can't have pork chops. I'll throw off the whole rotation. Hank continues to eat. We jump to the next day. And, you know, Peggy's confiding in Nancy that she's upset that Hank was eating the pot roast like it was the pork chops. And the pork chops are right there. And Nancy's like, well, you need like an unfair advantage. And she gives her a Ladies Monthly magazine. And Peggy at first is like reluctant. She's like, oh, I've never needed a housemaker magazine to do my work. And then she sees like this centerpiece in there. And so she's like, oh, that'd be nice to make. So she tries to make a centerpiece out of yard waste. And Hank and Bobby walk in and it's like, hey, why is there yard waste on the table? And Peggy's like, this isn't yard waste. This is our Thanksgiving centerpiece made entirely out of yard waste. And Hank advises Bobby not to touch it because there's probably ticks or fleas in it. And Peggy's like, well, I took the birds out, so of course there's not going to be any. And they walk away. She scratches her head. We cut to a hair salon. And apparently she's getting work done on her hair to remove the ticks and fleas. Ernst is her hairdresser who, you know, a stereotypical gay hairdresser kind of thing going. Or at least by his demeanor and his dress and his speech and whatnot. And he's trying to figure out what is upsetting Peggy, because clearly she looks upset. Peggy's mentioning that, you know, her man has found somebody else to do the cooking and cleaning and sewing for Hank. And, you know, Ernst is like, oh, who is this mystery woman? And Peggy's like, the mystery woman is my son. And Ernst is like, well, you can take care of Hank in one way that Bobby can't, and, you know, obviously in the bedroom. So she gives, you know, Peggy's like, oh, well, you know, I'm an excellent lover. So they give her a hairdo to, like, I guess, seduce Hank. And, you know, we see what winds, you know, we see if this will work. This might work. This might not. Real quick, let's check in on Bill, who's at the grocery store buying his groceries for Thanksgiving. And he keeps getting rejected, like, as they're checking out, they keep telling him, oh, you have more food than money. And so he keeps taking stuff off the conveyor belt, and they keep saying he's over until he has just like a stick of butter, and they run his card again, and they're like, you're still over. So he just takes a bite out of the butter and walks off. I kind of liked Bill's anger right there.
That whole scene makes me sad. Because the first thing he puts back is like some saran wrap, mm-hmm. and his comments are like, I'm eating Thanksgiving dinner by myself, so there aren't going to be any leftovers, or something along those lines. So he puts back the saran wrap. I'm just like, oh, Bill, I want to hug you, but I kind of don't want to touch you.
Which is, I think, a very common theme amongst people in the show.
Yeah.
We see the Hill House, and Hank is putting this circular saw cozy that Bobby knitted over his circular saw, but then he wanted to give it a different name, so he's like, let's call it a circular saw buddy. Peggy shows up, and Hank's like, hey, look at what Bobby made me. Made me a circular saw buddy. And then Peggy's like, comes out, and then Hank notices the hair. He's like, oh, your hair is really big. He's like, oh, I hope it's not too big to fit through the bedroom. And then I guess Hank being Hank's like, well, the bedroom door has a 7-foot clearance. And then you hear Bobby yell, dinner. And then Peggy's like, what? It's like, well, when it got to be 5 o'clock and you weren't home, I had Bobby make us something. He's like, oh, good. First we can finish up in dinner, then we can have dessert. And then Hank, again, being oblivious, is like, I think Bobby made pie. So it's kind of funny how like all of the... All of the sexy talk is like going right over Hank's head.
Yeah, I don't think Hank is. I don't know. It just seems like Hank and Peggy are the people who have like a schedule. When we have some alone time, it feels like it's mm-hmm. on the calendar.
Yep. So. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think that, that's a good point. They probably actually do have it, like, on the calendar and everything. And so, because it's not that, like, I mean, the way they plan their meals and everything, they probably, like, have an intimacy calendar or something. And it wasn't that day, so it was just not on Hank's mind.
And, I mean, he just got a new, was it a circular saw buddy? So he's, like, enthralled with that. Can't pick up on the hints.
Yep, that has all of his attention. We go to the bedroom, and Hank's just going off about how great that dinner was. He's like, I'm not a big fan of cheese, but man, what Bobby does with it, oh, that was just so great. And, Peggy's like, okay, well, now we can work off some of those calories. And then Hank's not into it, and he's just like, oh, it's the smell of the hair. It's got that new car smell. And so she gets upset and, falls asleep, and then Hank gets ready to fall asleep saying, man, boy, that cheese. The middle of the night, Hank, kind of tosses and turns and gets a whiff of her hair and wakes up, and he pulls their beds apart, and Peggy wakes up to that, and he's like, oh, it's just the fumes in your hair that are keeping me awake. I lied. It doesn't smell like a new car. And Peggy gets mad, takes her pillow blanket, and heads out to the living room, only to find that Bobby is using an upholstery cleaner to clean the couch, which... I don't know about you, but I've never had the urge to clean my condo or anything at like 2 a.m. I'm just speculating that it's 2 a.m, but it's definitely early-ish. But Bobby's like, yeah, I'm just using this. And Bobby is like, yeah, I'm going to clean this couch. Oh, was it ever an outdoor couch? And then Peggy's like, well, I need the couch. And Bobby's like, well, why don't you just go ahead and sleep in my bed? And Peggy's like, fine. I'll sleep right underneath your booger wall. And then, time passes. Hank comes out. He's like, I thought I heard an upholstery cleaner. And then Hank's like, well, where's your mom? And then Hank's like, or Bobby is like, well, she needed a place to crash. So I let her use my bed. And Hank's like, oh, well, where are you going to sleep? And Bobby's like, oh, well, I could just sleep on the couch and give me an excuse to sleep in my poncho. And Hank's like, no, just come sleep in our room and whatnot. And Bobby's like, great, I'll make caramel popcorn. And then Hank's like, I'll turn on the TV. You could probably get the news from San Antonio today. It's a very light day. So, okay, now since they're watching San Antonio news, my guess is it's like 10 or 11 p.m. So not that late, but still. we go to the bedroom and they're in the separate beds. And then Bobby's like, I didn't know that your bed was made of two little beds. And Hank's like, well, your mom likes her bed firm and I like mine extra firm. So, you know, opposites attract. And so they're watching San Antonio TV and Bobby's like, look at the weather girl. She's looking at the wrong camera. And then Hank's like, San Antonio. And Bobby's like, and it's going to rain tomorrow. And then I take exception with this next line. Hank's like, who would ever want to live there? And I'm like, as a person who was born and raised in San Antonio, I actually totally agree with them. It's not a great place to live. But it was kind of funny.
I mean, it's fun to visit.
Yeah.
It's fun to visit.
You could probably see everything worth seeing in a weekend, to be honest.
Yeah. And they got rid of the chicken fried place. Restaurant. I don't know if that made sense, but it was like, you guys used to have the world's largest chicken fried steak, or Texas's largest chicken fried steak, and it was that thing, if you could eat it in like 30 minutes, it's free. I wanted to do that. It was the same place with the cinnamon roll.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about. It's been forever.
Yeah, it's like a diner thing. I mean, that cinnamon roll is really good though.
But, you know, I guess that's not enough of a reason to want to live there. Yeah. Or maybe it is.
Well, the rain. The rain. Why would you want to live there if it's raining out?
Exactly. Peggy is hearing this and hearing how much of a good time they're having, and she's getting upset. And then Hank's like, hey, you know who'd really enjoy this? And Peggy's like, you know, perking up. She's like, oh, they're going to invite me in. And then Hank's like, Lady Bird. And Lady Bird runs in. The next day, the next day, Hank and Bobby are already eating breakfast in bed, and Peggy walks in, and they're like, good morning, and then Peggy's like, well, maybe to you it is, or something. Like, she answered, like, she was prepared to answer a different question than what they actually said. They didn't say good morning, they said, how are you, or something like that.
I think she wanted it to be like, did you sleep well? I think she was expecting him, like, did you sleep well last night? And then she was like... I bet you did, or I don't, now I can't remember. I just watched it too.
Yeah, I know, but it was one of those things where they answered, or they said something to her, and then she responded another way, like she had rehearsed it and like wasn't prepared to actually say anything else. They're watching the Thanksgiving Day parade, presumably Macy's, but you know, it's King of the Hill universe. Maybe it's like...
It's Wolf Lucy's Brand Chili. Something. Wolf Brand Chili, yeah. Presents Thanksgiving Parade.
Yeah. Hank is asked if he slept well last night, and he said no. And he's like, Bobby and I spent all night talking, like really talking. And so now Peggy's just getting really upset, and she runs into Bobby's bedroom to scream into a pillow, and she notices the Ladies Monthly magazine in Bobby's bedroom. She yells at Hank to come in and rats him out and says, you know, oh, look, look what I found in Bobby's room. And all of the perfume ads have been scratched and sniffed, and this is a ladies' magazine. It's not even my opinion. It says it right on the cover. So then Hank's like, Bobby, come on in here. You think he's going to get scolded or whatever. But then Hank's like, can you make this buttermilk basted turkey? And Bobby's like, well, that takes like 24 hours to make, or some long period like that. Good thing I got started on yesterday. And Hank's like, I thought you were just getting up to go to the bathroom a lot. So, you know, Peggy's was smug and thinking like, oh, yes, I finally got Bobby. But then it didn't happen. So now she's upset even more. And Bobby's getting ready to set up the table. And Hank's going to help him find some platters. And Bobby's like, hey, Mom, can you just, you know, turn on the oven? It's idiot proof. Just, you know, push the button and stuff. So Peggy goes and puts the turkey in the oven. But then she's like, my family doesn't deserve this. So she decides to take it to eat with somebody else. She's boxed in at the car, so she looks around and thinks, okay, well, I'll just take the bike, and she rides off.
Did you notice that when Bobby asked for the platter for the turkey, and Hank's like, it's in the box that says, like, poultry serving platters? Mm-hmm. I just love that there's a specific box just for poultry serving platters. I don't know, is that a thing, or is it just me that thinks it's funny?
I think it's funny. I mean, I don't think I have a box dedicated just to that.
I don't even think I have a platter, honestly.
Yeah, now you mention it, I don't think I have a specific, like, platter.
I just have the turkey out of the thing it's cooked in. Is that wrong? Am I doing it all wrong, guys?
I think we are. Maybe we need to. Maybe
I need Bobby
to figure it out. We need to read that Ladies Monthly magazine or whatever.
Yes.
Let's see. So they're in the garage. They're looking for stuff, and then Bill shows up and is like, "Have I fixed my roof recently?" And then Hank's like, "Well, it still looks bad, so maybe." And he's like, "I don't know. Like, my bank account's empty, and I just don't know what I spent it on." And then Dale shows up, and he's like, "It's empty because I cashed that $1 million check, which didn't clear for the full amount." And then Bill's like, "But that was a joke, just like the bet. It was a joke." And then, you know, Dale is all like, "Ah, but you and you went into a verbal agreement when you said betcha, and or when I said betcha, and you said you're on." And then Hank's like, "Stop being like a lawyer and just give him his money back." And Dale's like, "Ah, he's just gonna spend it on something stupid like himself." So yeah, a little bit of the Dale and Bill abusive relationship.
I love that it's Thanksgiving and they're just all just hanging out right there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it makes sense because Bill doesn't really have anything else to do, especially now that he doesn't have food. But Dale, I guess you'd imagine, would have something else to do. Maybe be with his wife and kid, but who knows. So Peggy has stolen the turkey. She's riding a bike to see her hairdresser. She's like looking and seeing all the happy families playing catch in the yard and stuff. And while she's not paying attention, her robe gets caught in the bike chain or in the bike gear, causing her to flip and drop the turkey and bruising the turkey. She scoops the stuffing back into it and continues on. She shows up at Ernst's house, and Ernst is, you know, shocked, is not expecting her. And Peggy's like, "Oh, you know, I stole this turkey from my family, and my family doesn't respect me. I wanted to spend Thanksgiving with somebody who is spending Thanksgiving alone because of their unconventional sexual appetite." And then Ernst is like, "Well, tell me who this mystery guy is." And they go in, and it shows that Ernst is not gay. He has a wife and he has a kid. And so that really sets Peggy off because she realizes, you have a wife and a kid and a family who loves you? So the Ernst goes ahead and calls Hank, and it's like, Peggy's here at my house, and she's with a bruised turkey, and you know, she doesn't feel appreciated at home, and you need to come and save her before she drowns in her own sorrow. So then Hank, you know, gets the message, and he's like, "Bobby, I need you to do two things. I hope I never ask you to do again. Give me an apron and record the game." So Peggy returns and asks, "Where's Bobby?" And Hank's like, "Oh, Bobby, I sent him to eat with the neighbors." And they go into the dining room, and they've made all of Peggy's famous things, like the pork chops and the Wolf Brand chili, Frito pie, and spaghetti and meatballs. At first, Peggy's upset. It's like, "You don't even need me to make spaghetti and meatballs." And Hank's like, "No, but I didn't marry you because I needed a cook or something to clean. I married you for, you know, love and whatnot." So he's kind of uncomfortable with that. But Peggy gets happy to hear that and hugs him. And Hank's like, "Oh, your hair smells like stuffing." The episode ends, but of course there's a post-credit scene where Bobby is eating Thanksgiving at Bill's, and he pulls the wishbone apart, and they have a bet, like, "Oh, I bet you $1 million that I get the large part of the wishbone." And Bobby's like, "You're on," and they pull it, and Bill winds up winning. He's like, I win. And then Dale just comes out of the shadows like, "Actually, I win $1 million. And then Bill's like, "I'm sorry, Bobby, he put me up to it."
Oh, man, that's a great post-show thing scene.
Yeah, it was very funny that this whole Dale thing still was going. I also kind of like the resolution. One, I like the shocker because Ernst was like written to be gay. You know, he's a hairdresser. He's wearing tight shirts, bleached hair. He speaks with kind of the stereotypical gay accent, as they would call it, and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden he's just like, he's not. He has a wife and kid and everything. And that upsets Peggy because Peggy was thinking, well, hey, I can at least spend time with him because he's certainly going to be alone. And he wasn't alone. So, yeah, it was just very sad to see that. Because you're really seeing, like, the vulnerability of Peggy. You're seeing that Peggy just wants to be appreciated. Like, now she feels like she's being replaced.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting to see Peggy this way. It kind of sucks that it's at the expense of Bobby. You know, like, mm-hmm. Bobby's finally getting this bonding time with Hank. Kind of something that everyone's been, or like, I feel like her, as the mom, Peggy, has been wanting for a while. But it's like, at her expense. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's just worried she's going to get pushed out. And it does turn out true that they don't need her at the end. Except, you know, for love and other things.
Which I think is a good thing. Because at first, like, this whole episode seems to be going through with, like, the whole gender stereotype thing. Like, you know, they're like, oh, okay, you know, husband goes and is the bread earner. And wife does all the domestic work, cooking, cleaning, all that stuff. And now Peggy feels like she's being replaced by her son. And now she doesn't have a place in the family because that was her role. Her role was to do cooking and cleaning and stuff. And the end of the episode kind of shows, well, no, even Hank doesn't really see her that way. Hank realizes that, you know, she's here for other reasons. She's here for my, she's here for love. And she's here because she's my partner and everything, not because I need somebody to cook and clean for me. And, you know, to me, that was a very, very nice end.
Yeah. And I like that, you know, the whole Dale situation was resolved with now Bobby being forever debted to Dale.
Yeah, I don't think Bobby even has $2, much less a million.
I hope they bring that back in the sequel, or they do a sequel reboot thing. This one moment, I hope they call back to it.
Oh yeah, like he makes the million or whatever, like from a comedy show or something, and Dale asks for it back.
Yeah, Dale's there in the shadows.
I would actually welcome that. But yeah, it was a nice episode because I think we kind of see that gender role thing broken because at the beginning it sounds like Hank's kind of, you know, when he's like, oh, well, if Bobby does learn how to cook and clean, he'll never get married because he won't have a motivation because he'll be able to take care of himself, which is funny because there are still people who think that way. Like in my own personal life, this was maybe 8 years ago or something like that. I had like my own mishap with bleach. Like I had a bleach bottle that leaked into my laundry basket. Oh. And so like, a good portion of my clothes got bleached and I had to replace it. And I was telling my friend, who is a woman, I'll bring up. I told her like, oh yeah, I had to throw out a bunch of clothes because this bleach bottle leaked and stuff like that. It's like, you really need a nice woman to take care of you or whatever. Like there's still a lot of people who still kind of think that way. But it's nice that like to see like Hank kind of break that down or break away from that and realize that, no, I don't need Peggy around for that reason. I need her around because I love her.
At the end of the day, I feel like everyone wins. Except we never talk about this moment ever again. I really like that Bobby and Hank got along together. I wish we got to see more of the side of Hank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one of the few episodes where they see them really bonded. This is one of the few episodes we see Bobby, like, really be good at something. It's kind of sad because I don't think we ever really see that again in future episodes.
Yeah, it's also that thing where Bobby is really good at something and Hank doesn't take it over.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of just is like, we let Bobby do his thing and we kind of reap the benefits of that thing. And, like, he doesn't interfere. He doesn't make it some weird competition. He doesn't enter Bobby into some kind of contest. It's just, like, he lets Bobby enjoy what Bobby wants to do.
Yep, absolutely. So this is, like, one of the few good episodes between Bobby and Hank. I mean, there are other ones, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see a few of them. I think we'll cover a few of them. But this is, I think that is, like, one of the best parts of this episode is that we actually see Hank and Bobby, like, actually bond and not fight or argue over things. But, yeah, that's all I had on this episode. What about you?
Yeah, that's kind of all I have. I have to go rewatch the Peggy dropping the jeans back in Easter egg Ness.
Yeah, it's definitely a blink and you miss it thing, but if he, you see her, you know, you see as she's like unloading the laundry, she has the jeans in her hand and then it just drops. But yeah, I guess that's all we have. Next episode, we are going to do a beer can named Desire, which introduces one of my favorite minor characters. I think we only ever see him in two episodes in the whole series, but we will really enjoy showing you this one. But until then, I am Jason.
I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.